I was late getting back home. So I had a decision to make. And since I'm a responsible, disciplined, structured life compulsive overeater, I made an executive decision that I had to eat because I was starting to feel squirrely with my body. And if I missed out on a service opportunity, well, so be it. I don't have to shoulder the weight of the universe today. I ate my meal and I put a shit ton of
That's time.
Tabasco sauce on it. So I always like to say, if loving Tabasco is wrong, I don't want to be right, because I had like a few moments where I wasn't sure I could talk because my mouth was on fire. And I love it. But most of the food party is over for me, but it doesn't
Time.
have to be discussed. Oh, thank you, Alexis. I can't believe my 3 minutes is up already. But yeah, we weigh me weighed and me we eat weighed and measured meals. And thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Okay, would someone read and pitch on sponsorship, please?
Hi, this is Peg. I can do that for you. It may be a little hard for me to read. I actually was at the ophthalmologist today with those little eye drops you put in your eyeballs. So if
Okay,
I start
I
faltering,
can read it for you if you want,
would
Dave.
you, would you, that really be
Yeah.
great? And I need a bumper sticker, Dave, that says if loving Tabasco is wrong,
Okay.
I want to be right. Thank you so
Okay.
much.
Yep, this is the tool of sponsorship. Sponsors are OA members who are committed to abstinence and to living the 12 steps and 12 traditions to the best of their ability. We ask a sponsor to guide us through our program of recovery on all three levels, physical, emotional, and spiritual. In working with other members of OA and sharing their experience, strength, and hope, sponsors continually renew and reaffirm their own sobriety. Sponsors share their program up to the level of their own experience. Ours is a program of attraction. Find a sponsor who has what you want and ask how it was achieved. A member may work with more than one sponsor and may change sponsors at will. A house sponsor is a compulsive overeater who has completed at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence and who has taken the first three steps of the program. Sponsors have also completed at least 70 days of assignments. Reflections to the sponsor, suggestions for discussion. No list of reflections and meditations are end all and be all for the newcomer. A sponsor must be attentive, excuse me, not only to what the new person is saying, but also what the newcomer is not saying. There are many newcomers who are reticent to purchase books and who are hesitant to throw themselves headlong into the program. Therefore, we have a list of pre-commitment assignments. Above all, do not vacillate or water down the disciplined nature of the HOW program. It's not the extra string bean that counts. It's not the extra string bean that is the problem. It's the decision to have it that results in some trouble. The HOW concept is an alternative for people who have tried everything else. Therefore, the program is an immutable triumvirate of tools, steps, and traditions. Using the tools of weighing and measuring our food, sponsors, meeting, phone calls, reading and writing, service, and anonymity, we follow the 12 steps and 12 traditions of OA in order to free ourselves from the bondage of food addiction. Sponsors do not have the right to play God. We help each other. Okay. Go ahead, Peg. Do you want to unmute?
Oh, that's right. It said that the host muted everybody. I was. Okay. Thank you. I was unmuted. Thank you. There's not enough accolades for me to say about the different sponsors that I've had, even if it was for one day, and how much they helped me. I beg your pardon, I put my phone down. I didn't want to hold on to it because it was getting so hot that it was a good idea for me to put it down on the much cooler countertop. I started working with a person in program, a newer person in program, newcomer back, if you will. And boy, did my program sharpen up, you know? It was like, wow, very grateful. And yet I also know that I'm simply a temp sponsor for this person. However, I will say this about temp sponsors. They have helped me tremendously. So there were times when I went through long periods of not having a sponsor, especially during COVID, the beginning of COVID. My sponsor has lost her abstinence. And I went from temp to temp to temp. And it was such a blessing, such a gift. There was no way to say the kindness and the love and the support that I got. There's not enough words to say there's not enough ways I could say thank you is what I'm trying to say. And just grateful that instead of being a down and out drunk on food or drunk on anorexia, I know people may think, really, what? Oh yeah, it becomes a real downer as well. Very much so, to say the least, very life-threatening. Very grateful to put my hand out and help somebody. Because of all the times I've been helped, it's like they say paybacks are a joy. Paybacks are a joy. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you, Tamara, mm-hmm. for leading. Yes. Very kind.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Peggy. Thank you. For the sake of time, will all HOW and OA sponsors please join me in sharing only the following. 1, how long in OA and HOW. 2, how long abstinent in OA or HOW. 3, and how much weight lost or gained. This is not a time for sharing for sponsors. Please keep it brief and no applauding between sponsors. If you wish to, sponsors can announce that they have an opening for a sponsee and provide their phone numbers. Sponsors are invited to share by clicking the raised hand button or pressing *9 on your phone and by turning on or keeping their video camera on. When it's your turn to share, you will hear your name. Please unmute yourself to share and remember to mute when you are finished. Okay, let's have first Mary, and then let's see, Mary and Dave. We'll start with those.
This is Mary G. in St. Paul, Minnesota. My abstinence date is November 1st, 2012, and I've lost and maintained 75 pounds. Pass.
Are you there, Dave?
Oh, thanks, Tamara. This is Dave. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater in Albany, New York, and an OA HOW sponsor. I came into OA HOW in June of 2015. I got black and white abstinent in January of 2016, and this program has relieved me of about 65 pounds. Pass.
Thank you. Now, if we could have Lisa G, Cindy B, and then Peggy.
Hey, I'm Lisa G from Texas, and I came into OA HOW 3 years ago this month. My most recent abstinent date is last October 26th. When I first came into OA HOW, I had put back on 25 pounds of the 90 I'd lost in another food program, and I've lost that. I will say I'm up 5 pounds for no apparent reason known to me. So, I am going to be working. I've been trying to work with my nutritionist over it. She doesn't want to take away any food. So I don't know. I just submit to her and we'll see what happens. Pass.
Hi, everybody. This is Cindy B., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from Ohio. I joined HOW in August of 2020. My back-to-back abstinence date is May 5th of 2022. I am down about 75 pounds from my highest weight, 45 of those, and how can I pass?
Thank you. Now, let's see, anyone else? You can turn on your camera and unmute your sponsor.
I think you asked me. My camera.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Yes, go ahead, Peggy. I'm sorry.
No issue.
Your camera popped off.
My camera popped off.
I'm sorry. Just it's go ahead on. And continue, Peggy. Thank you.
Can tell. Okay. It's on as far as I can tell. Very grateful. Came into program in 2010. My back-to-back abstinent recommitted to abstinence date is January 10th of 2020. And by the grace of God and the fellowship of our program, our life and sanity saving program, I'm down 35 pounds from my high weight, became anorexic in program, was convinced to stay by a past sponsor in our program and get the help I needed. Very grateful, also recovered from COVID, lost a lot of weight, still keeping in touch with my wonderful dietitian, letting my sponsor know everything she tells me to do. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Now, Julie R.
Hi, I'm Julie R. from Minnesota. I came to HOW in 2013, and my recommitment date is September 21st, 2022, so I'm at 9 months. I'm a sponsor in OA HOW, and I do have an opening, actually. I'll put the time and everything in the chat box, but it's at 6:15 Eastern time. So let me know if you're looking or you need someone to temp you. I am down 50 pounds since my top weight.
Thank you. Okay, if anyone is on the phone and would like to be on the sponsor line, *9 to unmute. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Yolanda. I'm a compulsive overeater from New York City, and my back-to-back renewed abstinence date is September 15th of 2023. I'm maintaining a 60 to 65 pound weight loss for over 15 years. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, if there's no one else, I will go. My name is Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater. I was given the gift of abstinence April 3rd of 2017. By the power of this program, I've been relieved of 100 pounds from my top weight with over 85 pounds in the HOW program. My recommitment date is December 1st of 2019, and I am on maintenance. Okay, Clay Feet. We should remember that all.
Tamara. May we just ask the young lady who had an opening for 6:15? Was that?
Yes, 6:15 Eastern Standard Time.
I would like the host to stop muting me. I was talking. Please, if I'll be glad to mute myself when I'm done talking. Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll repeat that again. Julie R. has a sponsee opening, 6:15 Eastern Standard Time, phone number 215-435-5762. Thank you.
It's AM though, Tamara. She was asking if it was AM or PM. It's AM.
Oh, I'm sorry. AM. Yeah, 6:15 AM. Okay. We should remember that all OAs have clay feet. We should not set any member upon a pedestal or mark him or her out as a perfect OA. It's not fair for the person to be singled out in this fashion, and if the person is wise, she or he will not wish it. If a person we single out as an ideal OA has a fall, we are in danger of falling too. Without exception, we are all only one bite away from a binge. No matter how long we've been in OA or how, no one is entirely safe. OA itself should be our ideal, not any particular member of it. Could I have a sponsor read and pitch on anonymity?
I can do that. Hold on a second. Got it. Hi, everybody. Hi, this Cindy is Cindy B., grateful, recovering, compulsive overeater from Ohio.
Hi, Cindy. Welcome.
Hi, everybody. Tool three, anonymity. Anonymity is a tool as well as a tradition because it guarantees that we will place principles before personalities. It offers each of us freedom of expression and protection against gossip. Anonymity assures us that only we, as individual OA members, have the right to make our membership known within our community. Anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication means that we will never allow our faces or our last names to be used once we identify ourselves as OA members. Within the fellowship, anonymity means that whatever we share with another OA member will be held in respect and confidence. What we hear at meetings should remain there. It should be understood, however, that anonymity must not be used to limit our effectiveness within the fellowship. It is not a break of anonymity to give our names and addresses to the secretary of the group or to other service offices of OA for the purpose of conducting OA business, which is primarily 12-step work. It is likewise not a break of anonymity to enlist 12-step help for group members in trouble, provided we are careful to omit specific personal information. If their disease has reactivated and we persist in protecting their anonymity, we may in effect help kill them and their anonymity. Anonymity is the part of the program that allows each of us to stand in front of our fellows and share for the first time, honestly, who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go, without fear that our story will be told outside these rooms. For many of us, the OA rooms are the first place where we have no fear being judged or criticized. We are accepted as we are at that moment. This is the first time for most of us that we experience sharing where we are not told what we did wrong. We come into OA at rock bottom, mangled emotionally, physically, and spiritually. We are supported back to health with honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. We are encouraged to speak of our pain, and we are lovingly told your secrets are safe. Come share our recovery. Recovery on a threefold level, physical, emotional, and spiritual. Lastly, a word to newcomers. Please join us. However, if you decide that our program is not for you, please remember that our anonymity allows us to grow and recover from a very serious disease. When you see here, what you hear here, when you leave here, let it stay here.
You're here.
Thank you. All right. So anonymity, actually, it's funny. I couldn't read, and I think I should, I couldn't read the word anonymity and say the word anonymity at the same time. And so when I first started going to meetings and I would read on this tool, it was really hard for me. And it was part of like, humility and like a safety practice to be able to stand up in front of people and like a flounder while I was reading, you know, and know that that was okay, that like we can struggle and be seen struggling and it's okay, which is kind of what I think this speaks to. In OA How, we take anonymity very seriously. We don't share who our sponsors are. We don't share who our sponsees are. If you are a member of Telegram and people post saying they're available for calls, we don't respond. We don't chat in that message thread. And in Telegram, we just post and then people can call us directly just to know that there's no who's interacting with who or who knows who or who's not interacting with who or, you know, any of that stuff. It's funny, I was in a different 12-step program and it's, you know, actually a lot of them, they don't have the same tradition of holding anonymity so close. And I was talking to someone and they're like, yeah, my sponsee. And in my head, I'm like, don't tell me their name. Don't tell me their name. Don't tell me their name. Cause I know the program. And she's like, you know, whatever. And I was like, oh, she told me her name. Cause I'm so trained now in this program. It's like, I don't want to know. Don't tell me anything about them. And the part of the reason why is, you know, we don't need to know other people's story. It's up to them for them to share it with us. And because it is so important for us to be able to share honestly, and because this disease has a lot of shame around it, and actually often what leads us to use food as a solution, as I like to say, is other shame, you know, other feelings of shame. And so it's very important for us to have a place of safety where we can share. And, you know, now and usually people who are sharing, they are in a good spot, right? This program works. We're living healthy, enjoyable lives. It's fantastic. But we all come in here, sometimes multiple times, mangled and unhappy and feeling awful. So if there's anybody here or anybody listens to this later who's really suffering, we have been there. So you are not alone, and your secrets are safe here. And when you feel safe with speaking up, we are here. And with that, I will pass. That's my time. Thanks.
Thanks, Cindy.
Thank you, Cindy. Thanks, Cindy. How about telephone calls?
Yep, I've got that one. This is Mary G.
Hi, Mary. Hey. Welcome.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Telephone. Compulsive overeating is a disease of isolation. Telephone is a means of communicating with another compulsive overeater between meetings. It provides an immediate outlet for those hard-to-handle highs and lows we all experience. Telephone is also a daily link to our sponsors and, as part of the surrender process, is a tool by which we learn to ask for help, reach out, and extend that same help to others. In how we are asked to make at least 4 telephone calls a day, 1 to our sponsor and 3 more to other OA members. These calls give us an opportunity to talk program on a daily basis. The telephone is our lifeline. So I did a little writing on this tool. That another one of the miracles of this recovery program is the fact that for the past 10 and a half years, I have had a daily phone call to a sponsor for the past 10 and a half years. I've had a number of different sponsors since I walked into the OA How Rooms on Halloween 2012. Temp sponsors were always available when I was between sponsors. OA How fellows are very generous with their time when it comes to doing service for fellows. I remember at one time at Yosemite National Park, and this is probably true in many national parks, I had to borrow my daughter-in-law's phone as I had no cell service, and I couldn't get my prepaid phone card to work on a payphone. I doubt there's even payphones there anymore. That was a moment of panic, but her phone had service, fortunately. Also, on our long train rides to California and Oregon, I often had to plan my calls around when the train was stopped at a station. It's going across North Dakota, and Montana was kind of a desolate area as far as phones go. And then there is the challenge of keeping my sponsor call at the same time when we travel to different time zones. To those non-addicts, if there are such individuals, this behavior appears crazy, but we in OA How know it to be our lifeline. For our 3 outreach calls, Telegram has been a real help. And then I want to just read something from Voices of Recovery, page 63. What a simple program we have. Just reaching out to each other makes our lives change and affects the future of meetings. I've had many phone calls which have been just the right message I needed at the time. I was most wanting a helping hand. Often I called someone because my desire to overeat was strong, And just the act of dialing the phone changed the emotion from negative to the release of energy, which can start meetings, begin new intergroups, and even save lives. I am grateful that the tools of telephone, anonymity, service, and meetings all work together in recovery. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion, for this I am responsible. That I pass.
Thank you, Mary.
Mary.
Thank you. Now, would someone read and pitch on, let's see, that was telephone call, right? So let's do meetings.
I can take meetings, Tamara.
Okay, thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Thank you. Hi, this is Dave, recovering compulsive overeater. Meetings. Meetings are gatherings of two or more compulsive eaters who come together to share their experience before and after recovery and to share the strength and hope OA has given them. Meetings are an opportunity for us to identify and confirm our common problem by relating to one another and by sharing the gifts we receive through this program. We find that being on time for meetings enhances our recovery and provides service to the meeting. Though there are many kinds of meetings, fellowship is the basis of them all. As HOW members, we attend at least one HOW meeting a week. So HOW meetings for me really were a really, really, and still are, a really important source of information about how our particular strain of OA recovery works. I love that our format is the 2-hour format because that's what it takes. All the tools that we use every day, it takes us 2 hours to get through our meeting because we talk about all the tools and then we have somebody share on their experience in this program. And I needed to learn about what OA HOW recovery meant. And thank God that all the tools are going over, you know, again and again and again consistently. It seems like they're really, really consistent and almost identical from one OA HOW 2-hour meeting to the next. And that is really, it's convenient, it's fantastic. And it just reinforces that we have found a formula that works. And our meeting is the place where newcomers, like when I was a newcomer, and you know, old timers alike, can come and find out, you know, how does this program work? What does it mean to use a tool? I saw in our meeting tonight that a person asked a question: What does recommitment mean? And these are great questions. We're on this meeting to learn about how the program works, and I'll address that question. When someone says my recommitment date, it just means that I had a slip in my eating experience. I broke my abstinence, but then I was graced by my higher power to come back in and admit to the group, my sponsor, and the world that I am recommitting to this recovery plan. And, you know, I reset my black and white abstinence date. And it is, you know, I may feel shame about it, but I can work through that shame and just humbly say, you know what? I'm a human being. I'm also a compulsive overeater. And, you know, I am going to have slips until my higher power says I've had enough. And yeah, just, you know, I just pray to God that I'll humbly be able to come back to meetings and say, you know, I've had a challenge and I'm back. I'm ready to surrender all over again. So with that, I will pass. And thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Dave. Literature and writing.
I'll take that one. I'm Julie R. from Minnesota.
Hi, Julie. Welcome.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. So literature and writing. Literature, we study the textbook Alcoholics Anonymous, referred to as the Big Book, and the 12 Steps and 12 Traditions, another AA book to reinforce our program. By substituting the words food and compulsive overeating for the words alcohol and alcoholism, we can identify closely. We also read OA literature, the OA book, Overeaters Anonymous, referred to as the Brown Book, the OA 12 steps and 12 traditions for today, for daily meditation and Lifeline, our journal of recovery. Read on a daily basis, our literature impresses on us certain basic truths that we have found vital to our growth. Our literature and the AA books are an ever-available tool that gives us insight into our problem, as well as the strength to deal with it and the very real hope that there is a solution for us. Okay, writing. In addition to writing our inventories and the list of people we have harmed, most of us have found that writing has been an indispensable tool for working the steps. Further, putting our thoughts and feelings down on paper or describing a troubling incident helps us to better understand our actions and reactions in a way that is often not revealed to us by simply thinking or talking about them. In the past, compulsive eating was our most common reaction to life. When we put our difficulties down on paper, it becomes easier to see situations more clearly and perhaps better discern any necessary action. All right, so I both listened to my sponsee's writing and I do reading and writing every day. And there are so many things that I get from that practice. One is, you know, as the reading just now mentioned, thinking through my actions and what I can do next in the event of a troubling incident. It just helps me to process some of my thoughts. Reading through the literature is so helpful because, you know, there's so many things that I can relate to and honestly some things that I can't. And it kind of helps me think through some of my, you know, thought obstacles. For example, you know, I've had trouble with the big book in the past. It's very, you know, Christian oriented, and there's a lot of traditional assumptions about men and women. And, you know, it helps me to kind of think through those things and think past those things on, you know, what are the basic human principles that they're getting at, and think through some of my own assumptions and the way that I think about life, just in general. And so, anyways, you know, reading through, the literature, both addressing the, you know, the addiction aspects and life in general and the context of everything, that I have going on, is very, very helpful, you know, and to do it on a daily basis and to have somebody listen is priceless. And give feedback, somebody that knows you well and can comment on your thoughts and kind of check you a little bit. It's very helpful. So with that, I will pass.
Thank you, Julie.
Thanks, Julie. Thanks, Julie.
Mm-hmm. Service. Is there a sponsor that would like to do service? I can read it if someone wants to pitch, if you're on the phone or something. Let's see.
Ms. Tamara, if you will read it, I will pitch on it for
okay.
you.
Okay. Thank you, Peggy. Okay. This is service. Carrying the message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers is the basic purpose of our fellowship and therefore the most fundamental form of service. Any service, no matter how small, that will help reach a fellow sufferer adds to the quality of our own recovery. Putting away chairs, making coffee, talking to newcomers, doing whatever needs to be done in a group or for OA as a whole are ways in which we give back what we have so generously been given. Do what you can when you can. Quote, a life of sane and happy usefulness, unquote, is what we're promised as a result of working the 12 steps. Service fulfills that promise. Always to extend the hand and heart of OA to all who share my compulsion. For this, I am responsible.
Thank you. Thanks, Tamara. And yeah, service, she was, I remember thinking, oh gosh, I was ever so scared when I came into program to even read
Peggy, you're gone.
Yeah. Let's see.
I don't know if you just lost me. I don't know what that was about. Anyway, I better keep it short. Service is a gift. It's a gift that, in truth, it's a little bit of a payment for all the great help that I've been given throughout these many years. Loving, kindness, a lot of times strictness, and that's what I needed too, correction. I certainly needed that, my gosh. But you know what? It was important for me. And even
Let's see. Sounds like we're losing you again, Peggy.
They're only wants to stop right there. I thank you.
Okay. Thanks. Yes.
Did you
thank you?
Me? All right. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Will all people doing service for OA at any level, please turn on your video and applaud service.
Yay, service.
Good to see everyone. Wonderful. Yay, service. Okay, the Minnesota OA How live meeting is a friendly place. We want to get to know each other. If you are attending for the first time, please turn on your video and unmute your line or press star and six on your telephone's keypad and introduce yourself by first name only and where you are from. If you'd like to receive calls, please place. Hold on, I got my pages mixed up. Here we go. Place your phone number, time zone, and best time to call in the chat. Is there anyone here who is a newcomer? Anyone here for the first, second, or third time? Not tonight. Okay. You can also put it in the chat if you'd like. So the treasurer's report will be given on the first Tuesday of the month. The seventh tradition, according to our seventh tradition, we are self-supporting through our own contributions. Our group expenses are presented during the treasurer's report. We support our intergroup, region, and world service office with quarterly contributions to help carry the message to other compulsive eaters. The world service office suggests a contribution of $5 or more. Please give as much as you feel you can to help others. If this were an in-person meeting, we would pass the basket to collect the seventh tradition. We will put the donation link in the chat. So I'm going to read the promises. We are going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we've gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations that used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not.
We think not.
They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them. That's from the Big Book, page 83 and 84. Okay, are there any announcements?
Yes, but I'm not ready for it. I'm so sorry. So HFIG is doing another event. I believe it's the 16th. Is that the Sunday? I believe like around 1. I'm so sorry. I will try to get the details and put it in the chat. But yes, it's on step 1. It's on Sunday, the 16th, I believe at 1 p.m. Eastern. And I'll put the details in the chat.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yes, thank you, Cindy. Okay, any other announcements? I will put in a little plug. It is the end of June. We are switching service positions now. A new rotation starts next week. If you go to the website or the Sign Up Genius and click on the tab that is service positions, please consider doing a service in that way and help this meeting stay strong and choose something. If you have any questions about it, you can ask one of us that have been doing it, and we'll gladly show you how it, you know, how it's, what type of service it is. Literature and books, newcomers, and sponsor material are located at the virtual intergroups resource page at www.oahowphonemeetings.com. You can purchase OA books and pamphlets at bookstore.oa.org. It is now time for medallions at HOW meetings. We recognize the milestones of recovery for those working the HOW program. Anyone may request a medallion by turning on their camera and unmuting their phone. Please see the chat for directions on receiving your chip. All other OA abstinents is given a round of applause. Is there anyone here tonight celebrating multiple years of back-to-back OA abstinence? Not tonight. How about 18 months? One year? 9 months?
I'm at 9 months, Tamara. This is Julie R. from Minnesota.
Wonderful. Good job, Julie R.
Yay.
Wonderful. Congratulations. 6 months?
Hi, this is Yolanda. I'm celebrating 9 months.
Oh, 9 months. Woo-hoo! Wonderful. Good job, Yolanda.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Congratulations. 6 months? 3 months? 2 months? Or 1 month? Now for the most important person in the room. Does a newcomer or returning member wish a chip of desire? This doesn't mean your abstinence, but you saw something tonight that you may want. Anyone like a chip of desire? Not tonight. Keep coming back, and we'll be celebrating some more real soon. Okay. Step ups. At this point in our meeting, we ask the group to join us as we celebrate another example of the miracles that abound in OA. The stepping up portion of the meeting asks a sponsor to introduce a newcomer who has at least 70 days of back-to-back abstinence, who has completed the first 3 steps of the program, and who is now ready to become a sponsor. At OA HOW meetings, new sponsors are presented with a cactus plant to signify the tough love of the program, a stick with the stickers, and remember to drink your water, and a reminder that we don't water down the program. Are there any step-ups this evening? I don't believe there was any signed up, but okay, anniversaries. Birthdays are celebrated for each year of continuous abstinence. The OA group handbook, page 10, At Anniversaries of Candles Lit at the beginning of the meeting, we invite the person who's celebrating an anniversary to turn on their video for the anniversary reading. Are there any anniversaries? Okay. Attendees may sign up to celebrate your step up or anniversaries via the Sign Up Genius link on our website. Okay, the leader now qualifies for 10 minutes. Alexis, if you'll just give me a verbal 5 minutes and then a verbal 2 minutes, that would be wonderful. Okay, my name's Tamara. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi, Tamara. Thank you.
Hi. Hello. I just happened to grab something that I had next to me here on my filing cabinet. And I showed these, I think, last week or the week before when I led. But there's some pictures of me, and just give you a little idea what it was like before program. I think maybe you'll be able to see them here. So this first one in the pink is probably one of my heaviest. I was having tattoos done, so I was really, you know, distracted enough that I didn't realize, you know, how much I, you know, kind of flowed over the edge of the little, you know, the bench thing that you lay on and stuff. This one here is another typical one of me. This one is hard to tell. It's I cut out the people next to me, but you would notice how big I am if you saw me next to normal weighted people there. And as I said, this one, you know, I always thought I could hide behind that bike, you know, but it's not really covering any of me. And this one here, it's kind of a glare, but this is a really really typical picture of, you know, my facial expression, just my you know, just kind of sourpuss and just not happy with life and whatnot. Those times were definitely really, really tough. What I did was, I guess this was back in 21, I wrote this up, but I was writing down some things that I wanted to remember, and I called them the top 9 lessons I've learned on this journey so far. And I guess I was thinking of, you know, David Letterman's top 10 list or something. But anyways, the first thing I learned was life ain't no fairy tale, and I am far from being a Barbie doll. And I'm never satisfied in life. I always wanted what I didn't have, or what I had, I did not appreciate. I can't live in a fantasy world anymore and ignore my true self. I have abused my body with food for a very long time, and I strive to repair as much damage as I can by treating my body as a physical house of my soul, the bearer of my spirit in this lifetime. Oh, it could be easier just to read this, but I'll do my best. And I had a quote from the Big Book, page 554. We're taught to differentiate between our wants, which are never satisfied, and our needs, which are always provided for. God may not give me what I want, but he will surely give me what I need. The second one is, practice does not make me perfect. Unrealized expectations consumed me in every aspect of my life. I always say I'm the queen of unmet expectations. Why did I expect a stellar career, a doting husband that worshiped me, and a guarantee that I would be a perfect parent? If I couldn't do things perfectly, I did not do them at all. This program has taught me that I can't measure myself by others' standards. 100% perfection is not attainable for me, but I can commit 100%
of my effort into pleasing my higher power in all I do. I will never improve myself if I'm not willing to give up the things that have proven to not work time and time again. 3, what would happen if I put as much effort into my recovery as I did in my binging? Here's my story. Stomach pains, stomach ulcers for 2 weeks after starting how. I thought for sure I was, I had an ulcer, I'm sure. And I was abstinent, but I was just really feeling, you know, horrible. And then I realized, thank you.
That's five.
Thank you. Then I realized that I had been actually, what I was feeling in my stomach was hunger pains for the first time. I never had hunger pains physically because I was always full. I was always eating. I was always just to the maximum full. And I didn't actually know what real hunger pains were. I knew what my head told me were hunger pains, but I didn't know the physical hunger pains. That was the first time. Sure, this program requires time and effort and food prep and phone calls and writing assignments, but it's nothing compared to the debilitating craziness of my brain when it was high on food substances. Yes, I will cut. I will cut a blueberry in half to get just the right weight of my fruit because recovery is worth it. I can't win unless I try God's way of living my life. A better life is worth that effort, don't you think? 4, I needed to surrender to reality. Surrender does not mean giving up. It means giving into something greater than myself. Being able to see reality through clear eyes and accepting life on life's terms is possible with this program. Before program, reality was not in my vocabulary. But let me tell you, there is nothing sadder than feeling totally alone in a room full of people wearing masks and keeping too busy to deal with all the hidden emotions, buried pain, and how I spent too many decades of my life in that manner. I am more than ready to experience that new life of recovery with a new awareness. 5, goal weight does not equal a perfect life. At the end of my marriage, my first marriage, I went on this diet. I don't know if you tried it, but it's the Mountain Dew kickboxing diet. I basically only drink Mountain Dew and kickbox 5 times a week. And I got down to 135 pounds. And it was the happiest time in my life. That means it really was the saddest time in my life was when I looked the best on the outside. It never matched. 6 years now, I reached that same weight. And what was really bizarre was I looked down at my body thinking I would see the body I had back in, 20 years ago. And obviously my body is 20 years older. So it was just a real reality check. It was actually 28 years older than that weight before. This program has changed me from the inside out. No pictures can show the transformation that my mind, heart, and spirit have gone through. From this program of healing, exercise is not punishment for me, but a way I can try to repair all the abuse it has suffered from my compulsive overeating. I think I must be almost close to my time. I'll just say it's just wonderful to know that that this program can give results that I never expected. I really had thought that I had lost hope. And even though now my life is very far from perfect, I have more stress now than I probably did 6 years ago when I started. But I also have a lot more reality and a lot more ability to try to deal with life instead of just drowning it in chocolate and everything else. I wouldn't change it for the world. Just yesterday, I thought about food. You know, after 6 years, I thought about food, and I thought, where would I be now if I had, you know, at least a few different types of food? And thank goodness I didn't go there. I didn't open up the door. I didn't let the beast out, and it's still in check. And with God's grace, it'll be another day tomorrow and after today. So let's see. And we have Lisa. So I pass. Thank you. So
we
have
Tamara.
Yes, you're welcome. We have
thanks, Tamara. Beautiful.
Yes. And I love you.
You're welcome.
Hey, you guys.
Lisa G. Yeah.
Yo, that's me. And I'm going to share, and I'm not prepared, but that's okay. I think I'm going to try. I've tried to do a screen share before, and I have no idea if this is going to work.
Hey, Lisa, how would you like your time?
Just give me a minute and say it loud and proud.
When there's a minute left out of 20?
Yeah, okay. This is okay. I'm sharing the. Okay, I don't want to do that. Let's see here. I'll say like, what the hell? Okay, it's not going to work. Anyway, what was it like? I'm not going to do the traditional thing because I'm really not prepared, but I will just say that, Dave, I love what you talked about when you were saying about how, what is a recommitment date? And, you know, I've had a lot of those in my 12-stepping food career. I was in another 12-step food program for about 11 years, and it's quite different than the one we do here in that we don't get a food plan from a nutritionist, and so your sponsor gives you your food plan. Well, you know, I'm 5'10", and at that time I was 53 years old. And, you know, you don't give a person that's 5'10 and 53 the same food plan you give somebody that's 5'2 and 25. I mean, you just don't. But I was desperate and I did it and I lost 90 pounds in 10 months. Okay, so I wish I could show you the picture because I went from being very large to being very thin. And it happened very fast. I'm a hairdresser, and you know, my clients for the most part come in once a month, and every month they'd come in and they'd see me. And you know, the first month I lost 19 pounds, and really you couldn't even tell because I was so fat, but my clothes weren't choking me anymore. The next month I continuously lost 10 pounds a month, and after a few months my clients started to notice and they would say, oh, you're losing weight. And then a few months later, they would go, are you okay? You have cancer. You know, because I got really thin really fast. And although I think I like being the center of attention, I really don't, because I was extremely uncomfortable. And you would think that, you know, I spent so many years being so self-conscious about the way I looked. And I would change my clothes 3 times in the morning, even though the only pants I had that fit me had elastic waist, and I'm a t-shirt person, and I would wear t-shirts, and you know, I would spend like 2 to 3 minutes when I was getting dressed, pulling my t-shirt down over my knee so I could stretch it out, and then I'd do the other knee, and you know, there's only so much of that you can do. Like, you can't hide 90 pounds. You cannot hide it. And So anyways, I lost that 90 pounds and I stayed abstinent for a good while. And then in that program, you don't weigh your food out and about. And that's something I love about this program because it keeps me honest. And I just started with a little bit extra, a little bit, and then a little bit more. And then a basket of sweet potato fries and pouring queso all over my food. And for a whole year, I gave my food to my sponsor, you know, like we do here. I committed my food and I ate chicken a lot and I bought rotisserie chicken and I would weigh and measure my portion. And then I'd rip the wings off and eat them every day for a year. And I never told my sponsor because it's like, who cares? She'll never know. And that food did not show on me for a long time. I was in that program for about 11 years, and it didn't show until about my last 2 years in there. And I'm telling you this story to say, as I began to gain the weight, it was face-to-face meetings, and you'd get up in front of the room, classroom style, and the first thing you do would be to say what you weighed and what you weigh now. And my weight was going up like 2 to 3 pounds, 2 to 3 pounds, 2 to 3 pounds. And all of a sudden I woke up one day, and I've said this before, I had gained 25 pounds and I was absolutely mortified because I didn't tell anybody what I was doing out at restaurants or at my brother and sister-in-law's house. And I was lying, but mostly I was lying to myself. I got away with it for a good while. And so I was so ashamed of myself that I left the program. And my sponsor, God bless her, you know, I kept talking to her on a pretty much daily basis, but I never went to a meeting. And I can't remember how I found out about Vision for You, but I did. And it's a big book study for OA. And I went to that for about 2.5 years. But that also is like, it's just a little too loose for me. And I could not lose the weight because I was eating like giant bags of Skinny Pop popcorn. Like I ate one and then I'd eat another one, sick, totally sick. I mean, I'd feel so nauseous, but I'd keep eating because I had to. I was driven to eat. Now I had screwed up, I've gained weight, and what can I do to feel better about myself? I will stuff my face, but I felt really proud because I wasn't eating flour and I wasn't eating sugar, but I was eating, you know, bags of popcorn. And I don't even remember what all, but I didn't lose any weight. So now, you know, I've been in Howe now for 3 years and I've had many slips. Thank God, I guess I can say thank God that none of them were food relapses. They were all because I took my will back. I didn't feel like calling my sponsor to make a food change. And, you know, I mean, I still struggle with that a little bit because sometimes I think, oh, what's the big deal? What's the big deal? But there's a reason why we do what we do in here. You know, I mean, I've proven to myself that I don't even know I'm a liar, you know. Denial. Don't even know I'm a liar. I just do it very naturally. And, you know, sometimes when I think it's really like, why do I have to call my sponsor to tell her I'm going to have 5 ounces of chicken instead of 5 ounces of beef? Like, who cares? It's there for a reason. And so that keeps me honest. And when I'm honest, I like myself better. I like myself better and I feel like I have integrity. And so I don't feel like I need a substance to make me feel better about myself. I feel better about myself because I did the right thing, you know, and I've said this a lot of times in this program, no one's holding a gun to my head to do this. Like I'm doing it because I want it. I want it and I work it and I do every tool. And I'm not saying this like woo me, because I know y'all do it too. I do every tool every day and I work the steps. And because if I don't, I'll be pouring queso all over my food again. And like I said in my sponsor thing, I've put on 5 pounds and is really messing with my head because I have not gone off my food plan. And, you know, I'm 67 and I hate thinking that maybe my metabolism has changed because I'm older and I've been, you know, postmenopausal for a long time. And I mean, but, you know, reality bites. I mean, I look so different. I don't know if you can see my roots. You know, I have white hair now. Used to be red, but I have to help it now. And I have tons of wrinkles. And why can't I just, you know, and then my nutritionist, she doesn't want to change my food plan. You know, and I'm like, dude, I mean, I just like, it messes with my head. So that's part of the whole dysmorphia of this disease, that, you know, I'm still wearing the same size, my clothes aren't tight. I don't know. But okay, now the second part of all this, and I should have timed myself, but I just got back last night. My husband and I went to Nashville. We live in Texas, and we went to Tennessee for a vacation. And, you know, we stayed for a couple nights in Gatlinburg in a little VRBO. It was fine. You know, went to the grocery store, cooked. And we went out to eat once, I think, maybe. Yeah, once. It was great. You know, called my sponsor, all that stuff. Well, then we went back to Nashville and stayed with my brother and sister-in-law. Okay, my sister-in-law is a killer cook. And y'all, she made stuff I don't eat. And I got to watch my family, you know, eat this stuff. And guess what? I didn't care. I did not care. And we went to this, like, it was like this brand new kind of brew pub, appetizer-y place. And it was super fun. And they ordered all these fun appetizers. I mean, tons of different stuff. And they're all passing it around. And I'm drinking my third club soda, you know, because I can't eat that stuff. And I didn't care. My stomach didn't growl. It was like, I enjoyed it. It smelled amazing. And the smell was satisfying and wonderful. And it didn't hurt my feelings that they were eating that food. I mean, I can't even tell you what a miracle that is. Like, I could cry now. Tamara was crying. I could cry, but I'm not going to because I have mascara. My brother-in-law, okay, I don't know. I've never been to Nashville before, but there's this thing in Nashville called hot chicken. I don't know if any of y'all know what that is, but they spice up this chicken to where it is so hot and they have different levels. And my brother-in-law bought, and it's fried somehow, but they also had grilled. So their most hottest level is called shut the cluck up. And then the next level, I don't know what it is, but he got me the next level on a grilled piece of chicken. And I built my little bowl. I put the chicken, and then my sister-in-law had made some other vegetables and stuff, and she made turkey bacon. So I put a slice of turkey bacon on there. Okay, the first thing I picked up to eat was the turkey bacon, and it had been sitting on this chicken breast. I am not kidding you. And it may be because I have allergies, it was worse. I felt like inside of my ears were on fire. I was dying. My mouth was on fire, but it was like my whole eustachian tube was blowing up. And I was like, oh my God, oh my God. And I'm drinking and I can't eat this. And then I'm trying to pick through the food, this mishmash of all the things that I put together. I can't eat it. It's all totally on fire. So I had to call my sponsor and tell her that my food was on fire and I couldn't eat it. And what should I do? And so, you know, I'd eaten a couple bites and everything. And she's like, well, how much do you think you ate? I said, I don't know. it wasn't a lot, but I ate something. And so, you know what she said? She said, just start over and blow off what you already ate. And that was so wonderful, you know, because we're humans and, you know, shit happens, you know, and that chicken was unbelievable. Like, and the rest of them, the three of the others were eating this stuff and they're sweating. Anyway, I was abstinent on the whole trip. And to me and they're drinking, my husband and I don't drink, they're drinking and just, you know, and I had a blast. I had so much fun. And we went out to eat again to this other place for lunch one day. We're up in the mountain and there was nothing there I could eat, nothing, but it was snack time. So I ordered a salad and I weighed my 6 ounces of salad. And I didn't put any dressing on it because I eat 6 ounces of vegetables. And I just ate that. And when we got home an hour and a half later, I had my dinner that I had weighed and measured actually and was in my lunch kit, but I had forgotten it and it was still in the refrigerator. So I guess what I'm trying to say is like, I am so different where food is concerned now. And the deliverance from the craving for food, the craving for sweets. I liked crunchy stuff too, but it's the sweets that really got me. And, you know, I just can't get over it. I have to remember what it was like for me before, how that first year that I was in the other program, I was starving for a year. I was hungry all the time because I wasn't getting enough food, but I stuck to it because of the thrill of the weight loss. And that is not good. That is not good. And I'll just tell you, if you're only losing a pound a month, that's awesome. You know, because being hungry, being so hungry is not good. And I was very spiritually hungry as well. And emotionally hungry as well. And, you know, trying to fill the space inside me that was so lonely and sad. And even though, I'm married to a great guy, have a great kid, have big family, but just stuff in my past, you know, that really wrecked my heart. I couldn't let go of it until I came into How. And I've let go of a lot. And I mean it, like, I don't grieve like I did for 35 years. I just don't. And I don't know why, except for that I put my foot on a scale and I do my reading and writing every day and all the things. And that's the only reason why I think it is like it is today. And, anyways, I don't know. I hope any of that made sense, but don't eat hot chicken from Nashville. It's a big mistake. Don't do it. And I will say this one little thing that's pretty funny. They said when they pooped the next day, it was the burning ring of fire. Yeah. So don't do it. Okay, I'll pass.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa.
Thanks, Lisa G. You might be muted, Tamara.
Yes, I am. Thank you. Okay. Oh, man. Okay, it's after 7:50, so we will move on. I want to thank you for allowing me to be your leader for this meeting today. I also want to thank all those who participated, especially our speaker, Lisa G, who offered so much of herself. Yay. Thank you, Lisa.
Thank you, Lisa G.
Yeah. We also encourage everyone to sign up for service for the next week's meeting. You can click on the Sign Up Genius link and go to sign up for readings and tools. And also you can sign up to be a leader and a speaker if you'd like. May we please have the reading of Just For Today. Is there anyone that would like to read that? You don't need to be a sponsor.
5,000 points to whoever.
Tamara, I can read it, but I'm afraid my phone is so darn hot that it's going to just keep on clicking off and on. It's up to you guys.
Okay.
If you want me to try, I certainly will.
Let's see. Anyone else? Just one last call? Okay. Yeah, Peggy, why don't you give it a try?
I can read it.
Oh, wait.
Thank
you. Yolanda.
Thank you for offering.
Yes. Okay, Yolanda, go ahead. Thank you, Peggy, for offering.
Just give me 1 second. Here we go. Greetings.
Peggy still gets the 5,000 points, right? Sweet.
We both do.
Definitely.
We both do.
Just
for, oh, wow.
Sweet.
Just for today. Just for today, I will try to live through this day only and not tackle my whole life problem at once. I can do something for one day that would appall me if I felt I had to keep it up for a lifetime. Just for today, I will be happy. This assumes to be true what Abraham Lincoln said, that most folks are as happy as they make up their minds to be. Just for today, I will adjust myself to what is and not try to adjust everything to my own desires. I will take my luck as it comes and fit myself to it. Just for today, I will try to strengthen my mind. I will study. I will learn something useful. I will not be a mental loafer. I will read something that requires effort, thought, and concentration. I will exercise my soul in 3 ways. I will do somebody a good turn and not get found out. If anyone knows of it, it will not count. I will do at least 2 things I don't want to do just for exercise. I will not show anyone that my feelings are hurt. They may be hurt, but today I will not show it. Just for today, I will be agreeable. I will look as well as I can, dress becomingly, talk low, act courteously, criticize not one bit, and not find fault with anything, and not try to improve or regulate anybody except myself. Just for today, I will have a program. I may not follow it exactly, but I will have it. I will save myself from 2 pests, hurry and indecision. I will have a quiet half hour all by myself and relax. Just for today, during this half hour, sometimes I will try to get a better perspective of my life. And just for today, I will be unafraid. Especially, I will not be afraid to enjoy what is beautiful and to believe that as I give to the world, so the world will give to me. Thank you for letting me read that.
Yes, thank you, Yolanda.
Thanks, Yolanda.
Thank you. Closing statement. To those who are still new to the program, we remind you that all that was said here today should safely remain here as we respect and cherish our tradition of anonymity. We also assure you that following the program will help you reach and maintain a healthy weight. Abstinence will remove the cravings. Our way of life will remove compulsion in time and give you contentment in all areas of your life. After a moment of meditation, will those who wish to please join in to say the Serenity Prayer. Please unmute yourselves and turn on your video. Let's pray for those who are still suffering. God, grant me the serenity,
to accept the things I cannot change.
The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Thy will, not mine, be done.
Amen.
Keep coming back.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you so much, Tamara. Good night, everybody.
Yes, you're welcome. Thank you, everyone, for coming. Have a great evening.
Thank you. I'm shutting her down.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't stop the recording. Dang it, it's been a crazy